Good morning. Today's daf from Bava Metzia is Lamed Daled. We're beginning today the third parak of the Masechta, and we open up with a Mishnah, Hamafkid Eitzo Chavero. Again, this is another very popular parak amongst the yeshiva, especially amongst the younger grades. Good. As we're going to go through today's daf, I wonder, I'm sure you're going to wonder as well, like, do they understand all the dynamics that are happening? The answer obviously is no, but you know, that's the beauty of learning. You learn it when you're younger, and then when you're older, you learn and you're like, oh, starts to make sense. So what you do is that you entrust somebody and you deposit an item for watching, and he is a shomer on that item. And it doesn't matter whether it's a live animal or whether it's kalim. And nignavu, oh, sha'avdu. The item was stolen, the item was lost. So shilam v'la rasa lishava. So what happens is that he pays and he doesn't want to make a shvua. So as we back up for just a moment, we all know, right, basics, ABCs. And that is that if you're a shomer chinam, just as an example, so when the item was stolen from you or the item was lost, so you don't have to pay for the item. In other words, because you're a shomer chinam, your level of liability is very low. Your threshold of what you're actually going to be responsible for is incredibly low. And even if the item was stolen or the item was lost, so you see, you simply make a shvua and you say that the item was stolen, the item was lost, and you are a putter and you're going to be exempt. We all know this. It's basics. So over here, the Mishnah is describing a scenario in which the shomer says, look, I could make a shvua. I don't want to make a shvua. I want to pay. I want people to trust me. I want my credibility to be good in the community for whatever reasons. I want to pay. So good. So he pays. So shilim v'la rasa lishava hari amru shomer chinam nishba v'yotzei. Because the mission informs us that the shomer chinam could just simply make a shvua and that would be it, and he's potter. So nimtza ganav misham tishlam kefal tavachomacher misham tishlam arba v'chamisha. Now, in the event that the ganav was caught, in the event that the ganav before caught shechted the animal, sold the animal, which means that he's chayv dal v'hei. So now there's a kefal payment, there's a dal v'hei payment. Who is the recipient of that payment? Let me misham, let me shab, because not slow. The shomer is going to be the recipient of the payment. In other words, and this will be the entire discussion of today's daf, what the shomer did is that when he paid for the item, he purchased kefal. And a rather remarkable idea, an amazing idea. The Gemara will spend the entirety of today discussing this idea. And the shomer now, with the paying of the item now, and even though he didn't have to pay for the item, and that's an important point, which we're going to focus on over the course of this morning, because he paid for the item. So now that means to say that if there is going to be a kefal payment, if there's going to be a dal v'hei payment, so under those circumstances, the shomer is going to be the recipient of that because he purchased the item. The item now is his. Okay, the item is no longer here, but the item is his. Anishba v'lo ratzal lishalem nintza agadim v'sham tashom kefal tafakamachem v'sham tashom arba v'chamish l'mim v'shalem. Now, in the event that he doesn't pay, he just simply makes a shvua to relieve himself, which is perfectly within his right to do. So then, in the event that we find the ganav, so the ganav's kefal now is going to go to the owner. So it's such an obvious point at the Mishnah at this point in time, but okay, the Mishnah just simply spells out that the only time that the shomer is going to be collecting and receiving kefal is only when he pays for the item. Good. Two cases in the Mishnah, and that is kalim and behema. And the Gemara goes through its classic discussion, Lama Lelemis and Behema, Lama Lelemis and Kalim. Why those two examples, Tzricha, they're both necessary. Ditana Behema, Hava Mina Behema, Hu Demakna Lekfela, Mishim Denafish Shircha Layu Lelefuke. In the case of Behema, the Behema was a lot of work. The Shomer did a lot. The Shomer had to walk the animal in, walk the animal out. It was a lot. So now one can imagine now that in the event that the animal is lost or the animal was stolen, and now along comes the owner and says, okay, no. And the shomer says, I want to pay. And again, in exchange for me paying for the item, in the event that the ganav is caught, so I'm going to be collecting kefal. So in such a situation, I can imagine the owner saying, you know, yeah, I agree. You worked really hard. So I'm going to give it to you. Give me the money. I'll let you give me the money. And if there's a kefal reward, I'll let you collect it. But in the case of kalim, I asked you to watch a kli of mine. And what did you do? Well, nothing and worse than nothing. And you lost it. Or the item was stolen from you. So in other words, you didn't do anything. And now you want to pay me. Okay, fine. But I'm not ready to relinquish kefal. That's what I would have thought had the Mishnah not include the case of kelim. And now we can go in the other direction. V'itana kelim, hava mina kelim hu demakna lekfela, mishum delan nafish keflayu, hava behema degabe dechitavach umachar, misham tashum abra v'chamisha, ima lo makna lekfela, so tzricha. And the flip argument would be the following. And that is that if we're talking about a kli, what's the maximum that one could receive? Kefo, which is not nothing, by the way. That's 2x. But in the event of a behema, now what's the maximum you could receive? Dalad vehei, 4x, 5x. Maybe we can make an argument that the owner's not ready to relinquish that. Yeah, that's why the Mishnah has to include the case of behema. Good. So we go now through our classic Trichusa, and why did the Mishnah have both cases? And now we know. And here we begin the discussion. Okay, everything up until this point in time was set up, obviously necessary set up, but now the discussion begins. Okay, so this transaction now is going on a future. And what? And you can't do that. Meaning, what is the transaction? Let's take a look at this transaction. I was a shomer, I was asked to watch something. Beautiful. I watched it. But in other words, but unfortunately, I didn't watch it well enough. The item was lost or the item was stolen. Fine. I'm now going to be paying for the item that was lost or stolen. I didn't have to, but I'm going to. Great. And what am I receiving in exchange for that? A future consideration. If in the event the ganav is found and caught, so the kefal payment now will go to me the shomer, not you the owner. Why? Because I'm paying for it. So I'm paying for a future consideration. That is making a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam, and you can't do that. Now, and even... In other words, and I know what we're all thinking. What about Rabbi Meir? V'yafil Rabbi Meir da Amar da Makna Davar Shelo Bala Olam Hanimilei Peres Dekel David Adasu. So even Rabbi Meir, who is ready to broaden and expand his mind, that a person does make a kinyan. Yeah, you know what? On the upcoming produce, on the upcoming yield, this coming crop that's coming, I want to buy it now. Right, buying futures. Good. There's a whole market of that. So Rabbi Meir says, I'm okay with that. But that's because we know what's going to happen. In other words, that's easy to forecast. It happens annually, right? The fruit is going to grow. That's great. But over here, as we now turn to the top of Lamed Aleph, Aleph. Miyema de Mignava. In other words, how do we know the item is going to be stolen? Avim Tim Salam de Mignava Miyema de Mishakech Ganav. How do we know that the Ganav is going to be found? Vim Mishakech Ganav Miyema de Misham de Mamo de Miftar. And even if we find the ganav, you know what the ganav may do? It may be moda. And moda b'knas is pater. So the realization of knas is really speculative. Much more speculative than this year's upcoming produce. Right? This year's upcoming crop, that's not high speculation. It's going to come in. Right? The future market is just trying to figure out how much of it's coming in and what's the cost going to be and so forth and so on. But the idea that I want to purchase this upcoming crop, it's going to come. We all know it's going to come. You don't have to be Nostradamus. But over here, Kefel requires me to find the ganav, have him have to pay. He may be Moda. It's real speculation. I don't know if Rabbi Meir would say that Adamak the Davar Shelo Bala Olam. So the question on the table is the following, and that is, how can we make a kinyan on a future? So the first point, which the Gemara just assumes that we all know, is that And what we just did for the last couple minutes is, and even according to Rabbi Meir, I'm not even sure if he's ready to co-sign on this idea that I could buy this future consideration. Okay, so Amarava. So the Gemara is going to answer in one of two ways. Okay, so approach number one is Rava, and Rava's approach is the following. When I handed you the item to begin with, I'm going all the way back to the time where the Shmira started. And I said, here's the animal. Okay, you're going to be responsible. Yes. I'm a shomer. I'm going to be responsible. It's at that point in time, a condition was made. Now, I'm going to be clear. I'm going to try to be clear over here. The condition wasn't actually articulated. How do I know that? Because I just read the Gemara. Nasa ki omer lo. In other words, it's understood that in this Masira, in this handing over, here are the following conditions that are set forth, even if not articulated. You're going to watch the animal? Yes. You're going to be responsible for the animal? Yes. And if in the event that the animal is stolen and I go ahead and appease you, i.e. I pay you for the animal that was stolen from me. I didn't have to, but I paid for you for the item. So now I'm going to make an acquisition and that will be retroactive to this moment in time. So the sale is not on a future. The sale goes all the way back to the origination of the Shmira. Starting point of the Shmira. That's saying a lot, but in other words, but now in doing so, we have solved for the, you can't transact on a future. The transaction is not going on the future. The transaction goes retroactive to the point where the Shmira began. So Maskel,
it's a future for the owner of the cow, because you see, if it's stolen, then the cow is yours. Okay, so he's the one that's sort of a...
Right, I understand. But in other words, but it all goes back retroactive to the point when I first handed it to you. All right. So in other words, so it's Breira, Breira. In other words, so it sounds like Breira, the Gemara is avoiding that as well. Meaning the condition was actually built into the transaction. It's built in. Okay. So Maskev Rabbi Zeri Hachi Afilu Gizusev Ladasanami. So the Gemara says, really? So everything goes retroactive to the point where the Shmir actually began. So that means to say that if in the event that the item was stolen and the Shomer pays for it and it goes retroactive to the point where the Shmir began, so you know what that should allow the Shomer to do? The shearings of the animal. The offspring of the animal. All should belong to the Shomer in this circumstance. But Allah Matanya, but meanwhile, the Brisa tells us, Chutz Migiz Yisrael, V'la Dusa, but the Brisa says, no, the Shomer doesn't get the shearings, the Shomer doesn't get the offspring. So, Elam Rabbi Zera Nasek HaOmer Lo, Chutz Migiz Yisrael, V'la Dusa. So here now, in defense of Rava, Rabbi Zera says, yeah, but even though at the point of the Mesira of the animal to begin the Shmira, so, although in this condition, in this tacit condition that's made between the owner and the shomer, you pay me for the animal in the event of theft. I'm selling you the kafal retroactive to this point in time, but I am not including. It's part of the condition. I'm not including gizusel v'ladoseha. And the Gemara now wants to understand. The Gemara says my paska. Well, why was all that part and parcel of the condition? So stamad the milso shivcha dasa me'ama avid inish demikne shivcha demigufa lo avid inish demikne. So the Gemara gives a beautiful distinction. And that is that, look, kefel is a derivative. And gizos and vlados are a derivative. Oh. So basically what you're doing now is that you're selling derivatives. Okay. In other words, in the modern market, people do that. I don't yet understand that, but that's fine. But here in the Gemara, I understand. So you're selling now derivatives of the animal. So what we're going to do is that we're going to make a distinction between two types of derivatives. There's a derivative that comes internally and there's a derivative that comes externally. I am ready to, this is now the owner, the thought process of the owner and the condition that is set into motion. I am ready to give you external derivatives. KFL, external derivative. It's not coming from the animal itself. It's coming as a result of the animal, but it's not coming from the animal itself. That I'm ready to yield. Take it. But when it comes to internal derivatives, like Giza Vlados, no. I'm not ready to part with that. And I would imagine, by the way, if I just may, add to a little bit more understanding of the Gemara, why make a distinction between internal versus external derivatives? I think it's pretty straightforward. Because when it comes to an internal derivative, like the shearings, like the Vlados, so the owner knows that that's coming. Meaning just by virtue of the fact that the animal is living, the animal is going to grow wool, and the animal is going to get sheared. Now, Vlados, it's true. It's true. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But in other words, but those are things that are being produced by the animal itself. The owner knows that those things are going to be coming off those animals. So internal derivatives, I'm not ready to yield. I'm not giving that over to you. But when it comes to the kafel and the dal v'hay, which is an external derivative, you want it, it's all yours. Take it. So now, all this now was version number one. So again, what was the setup question? How can I make a kinyan on a davar shelo ba'al olam? You're making an acquisition on something that goes to the future. So answer number one, the answer of Rava, let's call it Rava version number one. Or if you want, just for short, V1. So Rava V1 tells us that the kinyan all goes back retroactively to the point of the Mesira. Okay, that's version number one of Rava. Igad Amri, now version number two of Rava. Amar Rava Nasikam Allah L'chishitikna V'tirta Ustish Amini Samach L'gnevasa K'nu Yalach. You know when I'm going to make the kinyan? I'm going to make the kinyan just a moment before it was stolen. Now this one, I have to admit, is going to be a little bit trickier to understand. So in other words, when the owner hands his animal over to the shomer, so effectively he's saying to the shomer, look, in the event of theft, and in the event that you want to buy out my animal and buy the rights to my kefal, so you know when the transaction is going to occur? A moment before it's stolen. Okay, now, why is this trickier? It's a lot trickier. Huh? That's true. Also, it becomes trickier because what was the actual kinyan? Right. Well, like we discussed time and again, kinyanim requires something. So if we were looking at the original handing over of the animal, that's mesira. Right. Well, that's a kinyan. And I can definitely now trace back the kinyan all the way back to the mesira, the original mesira, from the owner to the shomer. But over here, I'm going to transfer it over to you a moment before it's stolen. Where's the animal at that point in time? On the property of the shomer. What's creating the kinyan at that point in time? Gemara doesn't say it, but we're going to have to say it, right? In the notes over here in the Masifta, he quotes Achronim who say it. We're going to have to say it. You know what the kinyan's going to have to be? It has to be a kinyan chatzer. It's your courtyard, the courtyard of the shomer that now is going to activate the kinyan. How do I know that that's true? Well, first of all, Achronim say it, but it's going to become evident in the Gemara upcoming. My Beinayu. So, when does the kinyan occur between owner and shomer? So either it goes all the way back to the Mesira, where the Shmira actually began. That's version one of Rava. Or in version two of Rava, it's going to go a moment before the Geneva. Good. So those are two possibilities. My Beinayu. Great, two possibilities. Practically, is there a difference between them? Sure. So So number one, so in version number two, we sidestep the whole issue. What issue? The issue of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said, what about the Gizos of Lados? Beautiful. According to version number two, no, it's not even a question. Who do the Gizos of Lados belong to? Well, the animal belongs to the owner up until a moment before it's stolen. Obviously now, the Gizos of Lados belong to the owner. We don't have to make this distinction. Well, part of the stipulation only included external derivatives, but not internal derivatives. You don't have to say all that. So fancy. You don't have to say any of that in version number two. Inami dekame bag, and the Gemara says, I'll also give you another nafkamina as well. And that is that right, let's say a moment before it was stolen, where was the animal? Not on the property of the shomer, off site. If the animal was off site a moment before it was stolen, which, by the way, happens to make perfect sense, meaning, right, the animal was not on your property, you, the shomer, and then someone come and took it? Okay. But anyway, but the point is that it was off-site, and now what? So in version number one, was there a kinyan? Sure. Because again, the kinyan goes all the way back to the Mesira. In version number two, was there a kinyan? The Gemara says no. Now, why isn't there a kinyan in version number two? Because when does the kinyan occur? A moment before it was stolen. What activates the kinyan? Your chatzer activates the kinyan. Where is the animal in this particular case? Off-site. Not on your chatzer. So there's nothing to activate the kinyan. Okay, good. So far now we've just finished our first discussion here in the third parak. And that is that our third parak is dedicated to the topic, at least the beginning of the third parak, of being kone kefel, acquiring kefel. And so with the first hurdle that we just jumped is, how in the world are you kone kefel? Kefel's the future. How could you be kone kefel? So the answer is that it goes back retroactively. Retroactively to what point in time? So we have two versions of Rava. Either goes back to the time of the Mesira, or goes back to the point of a moment before it was stolen. Okay. Next. Shilin v'lo ratza lishava. We're in Lamed Aleph Aleph. And we are about a third of the way down. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shilam Shilam Mamish. Ela Kevin Shamar. Reini Mishalim Afal Pish Lo Shilam. Our next big discussion is the following, and that is that at what point in time now does the kefal rights go over to the shomer? Now, had it not been for the Gemara, here's what I would have said, and I would have been wrong, and that is that when the shomer pays. In fact, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. When the shomer pays now, he has acquired the kefal rights. In the event that we find the ganav, the shomer is now going to collect kefal. When he paid. Rav Yochanan treats us now to a chiddush, which is that it's not when you pay, but when you commit to pay. Ratza lishalem. Once you make a commitment to pay, you have now effectively transferred over the kefal rights from the owner to the shomer. So afa pishol shilen tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but doesn't our Mishnah say that you have to pay? Which means that committing to pay is insufficient. Ema seifa. Nishba velo ratza lishalem. Yeah, but if you read on in the Mishnah does go on to say, and what if you make a shvua and you don't want to pay? So time of the ratza, ha ratza afa pishalo shilem, ala mehalak ala mishmimina. So in other words, but the second half of the Mishnah talks about just you wanting to pay, meaning in the event that you don't want to pay, the deek is, yeah, but if you wanted to pay, that would be enough. From the Mishnah, it's not clear whether for kefal to transfer from owner to shomer, does it mean that you actually have to pay or as long as you commit to pay? So Tanya Kavasi to Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, yeah, but the Brisa supports Rav Yochanan. And that is a socha par mechaver v'nigna v'avamar hala harini misham v'inim nishma v'achach nimsa aganav misham tashum kefal l'socher. So in the Brisa, you are renting an animal. The animal was stolen. The renter says, I'm going to pay. I do not want to make a shvua. Afterwards, the ganav is found, so you pay to the socher. Now in the Brisa, you say you're going to pay. That is sufficient now to transfer over the kefal from the owner to the shomer. Beautiful. Amar Rav Papa. So number two is that Rav Yochanan taught us that the payment itself is not what is transferring kefal. It's just simply commitment to pay. And the Gemara supports that. Next. Amar Rav Papa Shamachinim Kevich Amar Pashati. So Makna Lake Fela. The Ibai Patan Avshe Beganeva. Okay. So Rav Papa says the following. In the event that you're a Shomer Chinam, and when you are a Shomer Chinam, so you say that you are Poshea. In other words, I'm negligent. So it's at that point in time now that you are going to, and obviously with that admission of negligence, so you're going to obviously have to pay, obviously. So you are now acquiring kefal. But in other words, it's not exactly like our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you could have potted yourself, you decide you're going to pay. So now Rav Papa's treating us to another chiddush this morning. And that is that even though you're a poshea, now obviously with that admission you have to pay, but you're going to collect the kefal rights. Why? Because you could have said, Ibai patan avshe begneva. You could have said the item was stolen. Now, I always struggle, by the way, with the, here's what you could have said. Is it true or is it not true? Right? In other words, if what happened is that you were actually negligent, so what good is it now for you to go ahead and lie and say, you know, I could have said, well, what's the actual fact? Well, probably the actual fact is that you were poshea. But I think to Rav Papa's point, I think the idea over here is that there was at least a scenario in which you could have exempted. Not in this particular case, you couldn't have. But in other words, there is a means to get out of having to pay, and you opted into pay. So therefore, you're gonna get kefal, and we'll do the same thing with the shomer sachar. Shomer sachar kev shomer nignava makna lekfela di bay patanav shebishvura mesa. You know, even if you're a shomer sachar, you're paid to watch the item, so your level of responsibility goes up. And what happens? Geneva vaveda occurs, and so now you have to pay. But what you could have argued is you could have put in a claim of ones, and that would have exempted you. And once again, since there is a way to extricate yourself from payment, and you nevertheless went into the option of paying, so therefore you acquired kefal. And let's do, so in other words, well, we just did a shomer chinam. We just did a shomer sachar. You know what's coming next? Shoel. So shoel shomer, harini misham lo makna lekfela, b'may hava lele miftan avshei, b'meisa machmas malacha lo shchiach. But when you're a shoel, So with Shaul now, is there a way for you to opt out of any kind of payment? You borrow an item. Is there any way to exempt yourself?
I'm not sure.
Now, the answer is yes. The answer happens to be yes. And that is Mesa Machmas Malacha. Right? You borrow your neighbor's car, and as you're driving the car and you are just doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing with it, the car just dies. So do you have to pay? Well, again, you'll speak to your Rav and your Rav will direct you, but in terms of like basic halacha, so if it's Mesa Machmas Malacha, in other words, just regular use and it just dropped dead, so you don't have to pay as a shawl. Okay. But the Gemara says that that is unusual. In fact, it's so unusual, we're really going to say that there is no way that you really could have extricated yourself from payment. Yes, there's Mesa Machmas Malacha, but that's Lo Shchiach. And because it's Lo Shchiach, so therefore, effectively, you're a shawl and something happened, you're going to pay. And because of that, so there is no way that you could be Kona Kefal. So what Rav Papa effectively just taught us is that even when you put in a claim that's going to make you pay, as long as there was another exit ramp from that circumstance, so then payment is going to acquire for you kefal. That would be true in the case of Shomer Chinam. It would be true in the case of Shomer Sachar. It would not be true in the case of Shaul. Igadam Yamar Papa, now a slightly different version of Rav Papa says Shaul Nami Kevin Shamar Arena Mishalem, Makna Kfeila, Di Bai Patanafshe. So here now in our second version, So here we're going to put Shaul on the list as well, because in this version we're not going to just simply dismiss Mesa Machmas Malacha. It's a real possibility. So Amalei Resvid Hachamar Abaye Shaul Achi Shalem. Okay. The Gemara quotes Resvid in the name of Abaye, which is that when it comes to a Shaul, so when do you acquire Kefal? Okay, meaning in this second version, where there is a possibility to acquire kefal even as a shawel, so when do you acquire kefal? Only when you actually pay. Now remember, just minutes earlier this morning, we said that according to Rav Yochanan, you don't have to actually pay to acquire kefal, you just simply have to commit to pay. And that's enough to acquire the kefal rights. So now, Rezvit's teaching us that when it comes to the case of shawel, you actually have to pay. Why? Because. Remember over here, this is a transaction, and admittedly, this is a really sophisticated transaction. We are transacting rights, okay? And we try to finesse that earlier this morning, right? The transaction of rights, how do you do that? Davar shelo ba'al olam. We solve for that problem. But in other words, you're transacting rights. So what Rav Zvid now is introducing is the following. Yes, you can actually transact the rights with just a simply commitment to pay. Shomer chinam. Shomer Sachar, but not by a Shawel. A Shawel, when he asked to borrow an item and I lent him the item and he didn't pay me, so in other words, he's got all the responsibility, but he also's got all the benefit. I'm getting nothing out of it. I'm doing it just simply because I'm a good person. But I'm not getting anything back. And now the item was lost, stolen, whatever the case is. And now he's going to have to pay me. And now, do I transact those kefal rights to him? Abaye says, only when he actually pays. I'm not ready to forego those rights just on a commitment. Yeah, you're right. Just on a commitment. Meaning, look at all the things I've done for him. And now he's committing to pay, and now I'm going to transact those rights? Abaye says, no. Lo makin lekfela. Tani kavasi derev zed ashol par mechaver v'nignava. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, and this brisa seems to support exactly what we just said. And that is, a person borrowed an animal, the animal was stolen, and v'kidem ashol v'shilem, and the shol paid. So then, the owner has relinquished the kefal rights over to the shol. See what just happened? Paid. Now, listen, kamadura papa v'adilo avitu yufta. Now, according to version number one of Rav Papa, So certainly none of this is going to be problematic, because remember, according to version number one of Rav Papa, the shoal is not going to receive the kefal benefits, and therefore the price is not problematic. Lusha basra lemati avit yufta. But according to the second version of Rav Papa, it seems to be that this price is going to be challenging, because this price is telling us that only upon payment does a shoal now collect the kefal rights? So I'm looking for a papa now. Rav Papa will tell you, You know, when we learned the Mishnah, right? This discussion all started with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Shilem, and meanwhile we said Shilem just simply means the commitment to pay. Why can't we say the same thing in the Braisa? So midami hasam lo katani kidem, hacha katani kidem. Yeah, but noted textual difference between Mishnah and Braisa. In the Mishnah, it didn't say the word kidem, and the Braisa did. Kidem makes it certainly sounds like you stepped forward and paid. So my kidem va'amar. The Gemara says, I don't know. I don't even think it's a textual problem. Kidem could just simply mean that you step forward to commit to pay. Okay. So Hamid Ksani Gabi Socher Vi'amar Gabi Shoal Kidem Shmamina Dafka Kitani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa previously when talking about the Socher, so the Braisa over there used the word Omer, not Kidem. By the Shoal, it used the word Kidem. So in other words, by contrasting the two Braisas, Braisa by Socher, simply Shilein. Braisa by Shoel, Kidem, and actually adds the word Kidem. That means more than just simply committing, it means actually paying. So Midigabe Hadad Tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, if those two sections of the Braisas were part of of one Braisa, that would be a fair side-by-side comparison. Are they? Are they part of one Braisa? Shailuno Tanai de Bei Rabbi Chiyo, de Bei Rabbi Yoshe, ve'amri gabe Hadad Tanin. And the Gemara says, and we did our research. We went to Rav Oshia, we went to Rabbi Chiya. They're the Masada Braisos. And they said, yes, it's part of one Braisa. So the Gemara says, good. So what comes out now is that in the case of Shoel, you want to buy the kafel rights. For that, a commitment to pay is insufficient. You actually have to pay. Good. We're now cover the first half of today's daf. And again, like I introduced at the beginning of today's shiur, one topic. The topic of the purchasing of kafel. Kafel is a right to collect kafel. If in the event that we find the ganav and the ganav doesn't admit and he's caught and he's brought to Beis Din, in other words, that's a lot of speculation like we discussed earlier today. But if in the event that we find the ganav, so you went ahead and you now can purchase those rights to go ahead and collect kafel. You the shomer. Good. And we discussed already numerous details. How do we get around the issue of davar shelo ba'olam? How can you make a purchase on something which is going to be speculative in the future? Good. We dealt with that. Is it that you're going to be acquiring it with payment, or is it just simply commitment to pay? The Chiddush of Rav Yochanan, commitment to pay. Maybe Shoel is going to be different, because in the case of Sheila, he's getting all the benefit. Maybe I'm not ready to relinquish those kafel rights until he actually pays. The Gemara supported that approach as well. Okay. And now, as we move to the Amud Beis of today's daf, so the remainder of today's daf, or at least the portion that we're going to be covering today, is going to be 11 questions. Okay, if I'm going too fast in general, so please buckle your seatbelt, because we're gonna go even faster. Each one of these questions really takes time to absorb, digest. In other words, these are going to be very detailed questions within this discussion of purchasing future rights of kafel. Let's go. Question number one, pshita. So we start off with the following: Amar Hayini Mishalim V'Chazav V'Amar Hayini Mishalim. Okay, so. If the shomer starts off with his first position of I'm not paying, okay, and by the way, again, he had the right to do so, because again, he's a shomer chinam. I'm just he's a shomer chinam, and the item was stolen, and he could just simply say I'm going to make a shvuah. So his first position is Dana Mishalin, and then afterwards he comes back to you and says, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm going to pay. So good. So. Now, once he commits to paying, so now he has purchased for himself the rights to kefal. Good. And the Gemara says, and that's not even a question. That's a no-brainer. We don't have to litigate that. But we are going to litigate the following. Ella amar harina mishalim. V'chazavar amar ena mishalim. So now, the shomer comes over to you and says, look, I'm really sorry the item was stolen from me. Apologies. I'm going to pay. A commitment to pay. And then he recants from that commitment. And then he said, upon further consideration, I'm not going to pay. We're going to go to Beis Din. I'll make a shvua. I'm not going to pay. So now my. So one possibility is that chazara, he retracted. Or maybe no. Maybe his original commitment to pay is still standing. He tells you I'm not going to pay. He's just stalling for time. He just needs a little bit of time. He doesn't have the money right now. And so therefore, as a stall tactic, it's not, I have to admit, doesn't seem like the best strategy, but as a stall tactic, he's going to say, no, I'm not going to pay. Okay. But really, his commitment stands firm, and that means to say that now he acquired the kefal rights. Okay. Big discussion over here. Tosos discusses, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. So the, generally speaking, where you make a commitment that you're going to pay, can you back out from that commitment? Is that in general something that's allowable? From our Gemara, it sounds like that's okay. Good. First Tosfos over here. Obviously, we're going to move on in the Gemara. Much to discuss on this. Number two. So that's question number one. Question number two. Amar Harini Mishalem Umeis. So the Shomer makes a commitment that he's going to pay. And then what happens is that the Shomer dies. Now, Amar Banav Einanu Mishalem. And now the kids say, I know dad said he committed to pay. Dad's a good guy. We, on the other hand, however, have no interest in paying you. Meaning dad was a shomer and the item was stolen and he could have potted himself with a shvua. So now at this point in time, I myself am a little bit confused, unclear about, in other words, the kids are going to be in a position where they can even make a shvua. I don't know. But at least I understand the point of the Gemara, because the Gemara spells it out. Amar banav einanu mishalmai. Mi amrina mahad kahadra bahu. So the in other words, is it that the kids are retracting from the commitment of the father, which means that although the father now acquired for himself the kefal rights, what the kids now effectively are saying is nah, we don't want the kefal rights. We are rescinding dad's offer to pay. Is that one? That's one possibility. Or maybe no. Maybe the kids will honor the father's commitment. It's just right now that they're just simply stalling and buying time. Okay. That was question number two. Question number three. Shilmo banim mai. Okay. So what happens the following is that the shomer died. The shomer didn't even get an opportunity to say, I'm going to pay. Okay? In other words, what happens is the shomer was entrusted to watch an animal. Animal was stolen from him, and the shomer dies. And now, the children actually pay the owner. Are they now have the ability, do they have the ability to go ahead now and purchase those kefal rights? So, my. Matzi amrlohu ki akne kfeila lavuchandav elei neach nafshai lididchulo odim aloshna. So, and over here, again, the Gemara articulates the two sides of this question. On one hand, it could very well be that the owner will make the argument of, I really liked your dad. Not only did I like your dad, I trusted him. And I gave him something to watch, and it happens to be that the item was stolen. And he now wants to go ahead and pay me and buy those kefal rights. I'm ready to transact with him. But you kids, I don't know you kids. And I'm not ready to yield and forego on those kefal rights to you kids. That's one possibility. Or demoloshna. Or maybe no. Maybe if the kids actually pay, maybe under those circumstances, the owner will relinquish those kefal rights to the children. That was number three. Number four. Shilem levanim mai. The owner dies. The animal was stolen from the shomer. And now the shomer here is talking to the children of the owner. And not only talking, but the actually pays the children. So now, Matzi Amrile Kiakna Lacha Avuna Kfela Davdile Nech Navshe Ava Anan Lididan Lo Odim Aloshna. So even though our father was ready to go ahead and concede the kefal rights to you, that was dad. But that's not us. We're not ready to concede the kefal rights to you, or maybe no. Maybe the children are prepared to go ahead and concede those kefal rights. Shilma banalam banamai. Question number five. What if now the children are paying the children? So that means to say that there was a shmira agreement between father and father, and both died. Both principals die. And so now we are talking about Gen 2 to Gen 2, and now the children of the shomer pay the children of the owner. Are we ready? Are we prepared to say that there's now going to be a transaction of the kefal? And it's at this point in time, the Gemara doesn't even spell out both sides of this question. It's at this point in time, the Gemara just kind of feels like you already got a feel for basically what's the underpinning of these questions. Next, number six, Shila Mechzamai. Let's say that we're back to the principles, right? The owner and the shomer, and the shomer says, you know, I'm going to pay for right now half of it. Half of it, right? So interesting, so strange. Okay, so fine. And now either he commits to pay or he pays it for half of it. The ganav is discovered. Can we at least now split the kefal? In other words, you get half kefal, I get half kefal. Does that work? Question number seven. Shal shei paros v'shilam achas mai. Let's say, bar two animals. Animals were stolen. Paid for the animals. Now remember, we're by sheila, so you actually have to pay over here. But you only paid for one of the animals. So so are you now at least in for kefal of that one animal that you paid for? Or maybe no. Maybe the two animals are to be viewed as one corporate entity. And as a result of that, you are not going to be acquiring kefal until you pay for both animals. Shalman Ashufin Vishil Mechad Mehemai. What if, let's say, you borrowed from partners? Two partners own one animal. Each one obviously represents 50% shareholder in that animal. And now you are the one shomer who borrowed from these two partners. Animal was stolen. And now you go ahead and you pay one of the partners. Are you at least now in on half the kefal for paying one of those partners? That was question number eight. Question number nine. Shutfin Shishalu Vishilam Echel Mehemai. What if partners are the ones who borrowed one animal, and now the animal was stolen? One of the showmen went ahead and paid. So what do we say under those circumstances? It's nine is the same as eight. It's just that the partnership over here is going on the showman, not on the owner. Shalman Isha Vishilam Balamai. And Isha Shishala Vishilam Balamai. Over here, questions 10 and 11 are now on the husband-wife dynamic. And that is that the wife is the owner of the animal, and the husband is entitled to pairs of the animal. So now, you borrowed from the wife. In other words, it was her para. And then the animal was stolen, and you went and you gave the money to the husband. What does the husband have? He's got rights in the animal. He's got pairs in the animal. So is the husband in a position where he can go ahead and concede the kefal rights over to the shomer?
It's not his, though. He's got nichsa.
Right. So in other words, it's in this question, again, the Gemara is so concise in the way it's presenting these questions. In this question, you really have the classic of whether kinyan aperis is kinyan aguf or lav kinyan aguf. Right? Okay. That's, that probably is what the dynamic is over here. And then, Isha Shashala, the wife borrows vishilin balamai. And now the wife borrows an item, and now the husband goes ahead, and the item was stolen, and her husband pays the owner. She doesn't pay the owner, the husband pays the owner. So now, was there a relinquishment of the kefal rights over to the over to the husband? Teku. The Gemara's teku seems to be going on all 11 questions. Right? Seems that way, meaning none of these questions was resolved. Each one of these questions was asked in succession one of the other. And so the Gemara's take over here seems to be going on all of the above. What the halacha is, lengthy discussion over here. He quotes a Rif, he quotes a Rambam. Okay, anyway, we're going to pause over here. It's a good place to pause. Okay, well, tomorrow we're going to start off with the din of Rav Huna, the Chiddush of Rav Huna. It's going to bring us to a Mishnah in Shavuos, and brings us well into tomorrow's daf. So really, it's a good place to pause. We started this morning with the third parak of the Masechta, in which I'm just wondering out loud how are our sixth graders understanding this? Not sure. Obviously they need an introduction to the world of Gemara, and so it's a good introduction. But I'm not sure if they understood as well as I do, and I'm not sure if I understand it as well as I should. But okay, but notwithstanding. So over here now, a shomer and his ability to go ahead and purchase kefal rights, kinyan hakefal. So you go ahead now and you're a shomer of an item and the item was stolen from you. And now you go to the owner and you could have exempted yourself with a shvua of the animal was stolen. You're a shomer chinam and you elect not to exempt yourself with the shvua, but rather what you do is that you pay the owner. And with the payment of that owner, so what you did is now you have acquired for yourself kefal. If we find the ganav, and if the ganav is not admitting. So if there's a kefal payment, so you are now going to be the proud owner of that kefal payment. You have purchased an animal, and with it the benefits of kefal. Okay, so our discussions this morning were, I'm going to go in the order of how we introduce ourselves to it. Number one, why does the Mishnah give us both the example of Kalim and Behema? Number two, how can you make such an acquisition? It's a davar shelo bala olam. It's something which is a future. You can't transact on a future. How does that work? So Rava resolved that really the kinyan was done going, at least in version number one, going all the way back retroactive to the time of the Mesira. The original Mesira, that's when the kinyan was done, where all these conditions were set in. We talked about we talked about the distinction between internal derivatives, external derivatives. see above. Your acquiring of the kefal does not come with actual payment. Just simply a commitment to pay is going to be sufficient in order to acquire. And then a possible distinction that by shoel, and that if you're a shoel and the item was stolen from you, so you're not going to be acquiring it until you actually pay, right? A distinction to be made within Sheila. And then the remainder of today's daf is that the Gemara says is that, and what if, and 11 different scenarios of what ifs, meaning they are all not classic examples of the acquiring of kefal, like in our Mishnah, each one of the 11 questions, we had a little wrinkle in terms of what exactly occurred in the transaction. It wasn't the principal, it was the son of Shomer, son of owner. Both children are transacting with one another, husband, wife, right? The partners, etc. Adkan.